for us have a briefer word of prayer and then we'll hear God's word this morning. Let's pray. Our Father, we commend the children to thee now as they go out to Sunday school, and we pray that instruct and teach them out of thy word, that they might be trained up in the way they should go. And we pray that they may go in thy ways and may be in thy will in their lives. Now bless them richly, bless them with thy salvation, and may they come to share in that glorious hope and that glorious inheritance which thou hast prepared for each and every one of thy people. We thank thee that we too now can turn to the Holy Word again, thy scriptures. And Father, we pray that as we look at them together, we ask, Lord, that open our eyes, that we might behold wondrous things out of thy word. Although, Father, we may have heard certain verses many times, read them many times, we pray, Lord, for fresh light and understanding upon them. Lord, give to us light, give to us spiritual illumination, enlightenment this morning. Open our eyes, we pray, and help us now. We ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, dear friends, our text from God's word this morning, it's just a single verse right at the very beginning of Psalm 27. So Psalm 27 and verse 1. First verse of Psalm 27, where the psalmist David wrote, "The Lord, Jehovah, is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" David wrote, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid?" So, dear friends, this morning, for a little while, I want us to look together, especially just at this first verse of Psalm 27. And you'll notice that, like some of the psalms, not all of the psalms, there is a title to this one. And this is a psalm that is attributed to David, who became the king of Israel, one of Israel's greatest kings, King David, and was one of the ancestors of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And before we look at what he has to say here and examine it together and study it together, you might wonder, well, what is the context, what is the historical background to this psalm? Because very often there is an historical context to them. But I have to tell you, the few commentators that I've read on this psalm don't really know for sure exactly when David wrote this psalm, under inspiration, of course, of the Holy Spirit, when he wrote it during the course of his earthly life and reign. There's no agreement about it, which you often find that in the commentators. One has one idea when it might have been written, what the historical background or context was to it, and another has another idea, and they can't agree on it. So really they don't know. It doesn't matter all that much. Sometimes it's nice to kind of get a concrete background to these psalms, be able to set it in history, in the lives of these psalmists, but it's difficult with this one here. Some commentators say that it was written when David was a younger man, and perhaps when he was not long king, or even before he was king over Israel, any part of Israel. Some say that this was written when Doeg the Edomite slandered him before King Saul, another reason why Saul sought David to take his life. Others suggest that perhaps it was written when he was an older man, not when he was younger, when he was older. And later on, towards the end of his reign and towards the end of his military career, when he was nearly killed by the Philistine giant Ishbi-Benob, which was why I read that passage to you from 2 Samuel 21 a little bit earlier on. That could be the historical background of this psalm, but there's no agreement, there's no consensus about it. But you might have those two things at the back of your mind as we look at these things together this morning. So So let's look at this first verse of this 27th Psalm. What we can say for sure, what we can say for certain is this, that the person that David is writing about here in this verse and in this psalm and in many of his, in all of his psalms, is that he's here writing about the Lord. He's here writing about his Lord, what the Lord means to him. He's writing, if you're a Christian here this morning, he's writing about your Lord. And again, there's some kind of difference of opinion as to who exactly is meant by the Lord here. We know that the Lord is one of God's names, and it really means that he is Jehovah, he who is. But some say either this is a reference to God in general, or it may be a specific and a particular reference to Christ himself, to the Messiah. So David, just as he begins Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Well, there he was thinking very much of the Lord Jesus Christ, wasn't he? Well, there in this psalm here, he could have been thinking of him, or he could have been thinking of God in general. But it's one that is a name that appears and crops up many times in this psalm. He writes about him in verse 4, notice. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, same name, all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Just in that verse alone, three mentions of the Lord, because the Lord was so dear to David, so precious to David, who's always saying his name and praying to him. In verse 6, he said, I will sing praises to the Lord. And the reason why he was going to sing praises to God was because God had given him deliverance over all of his enemies. He was going to lift up his head over all of his enemies. He mentions him again in verse 7 in relation to prayer. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. And in verse 8, he says, when thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. So the Lord says one thing to him. He says, seek my face. And David says, I will seek your face. It's a psalm all about the Lord here. Then he says in verse 10, when my father and my mother forsake me. The reason why some of the commentators say that perhaps this was the time of the slander of Doeg the Edomite about David to Saul, was because he says this, when my father and my mother forsake me, earlier on in his life, when he had to leave his father and mother, or perhaps after his father and mother had died. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Then he says in verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. And then in verses 13 and 14, he says, I'd fainted. So I'd believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And then he says to everybody, wait on the Lord, be of good courage. He will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So when you look at this psalm in its entirety, when you look at these verses, references to the Lord's name here, and he also calls him God here, the God of his salvation, and other references to him, you can see it's a psalm like all the psalms. It's all about the Lord. And the psalmist's relationship to him, David's relationship to him. Well, my dear friend, this morning as you sit here listening to these things, a very great question to you, to your heart and to your soul is this. Is the Lord, is this Lord, is David's Lord and God your Lord? Is he your shepherd? Is he your Lord? Is he your Saviour? It's Father's Day today, and many people will be remembering their fathers, their earthly parents, and be giving them Father's Day cards and Father's Day presents. But the great question is, my dear friends, not who is your natural father, but do you have God as your father? Is he your spiritual father? Is he your heavenly father? Because you believed in his son, Jesus Christ. You believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You believed that he died for your sins on the cross, was buried, and rose again. And is Christ himself your Lord and your Saviour? You can say like Nathaniel that he is my Lord and my God. It's very important, my dear friends, to ask you these things, because if he isn't your God, if he isn't your Lord, not only by creation but also by redemption and salvation, these things really have nothing to do with you. But if he is your God, these things will not only be true of David, they'll also be true of you and me. If we have this saving relationship, this covenant relationship with God, with our God, he's our Savior, he's our Creator and our Savior. Well, what does David here say about the Lord? Well, two things in this single verse. First of all, he describes and he expresses here with a full heart and with gratitude and thankfulness and joy what the Lord was to him. He's kind of deals a lot about this in the other Psalms, and what the Lord is to him. He's my shepherd and so on. But he describes him in a number of different ways here. And Spurgeon says, here he says, when David is saying the Lord is my this, or the Lord is my that, Spurgeon says, here is personal interest. Here is faith, not in that God is these things, but is these things to me, and faith makes them so. Are these things so to you as well? Is God these things to you too? Not only to David. And then secondly, he says here, who he's going to be afraid of, who he's going to fear, because the Lord is these three things to him, as far as he is concerned. So we're going to see that he was not going to be afraid of anybody because of this, arguing from these things. If God is this to me, well then I don't need to be afraid of anything, I don't need to be afraid of anybody. So first of all, let's see what the Lord was to David. Commentator says that we have here a threefold shield, as it were, against David's various fears, as sufficient to ward them off. A threefold shield, three descriptions here, what God was to him. As it were, against his various fears that he had. David got afraid some. David was frightened. He had used these things to cause him not to be afraid. His faith obliterated his fears. These things were sufficient. He believed these things, and they were sufficient to ward his fears off. And what was the Lord to David? There are three descriptions here. First of all, that the Lord was his light. It kind of it comes straight out from this psalm at the beginning, doesn't it? It's lovely how David writes this. It's such a dramatic beginning to this psalm. The Lord is a little bit like the beginning creation. Let there be light, and there was light. Out from the beginning of this psalm, David said, the Lord, what is the Lord to me? What does he not only mean to me, but he is this to me. He is my light. He is my light. God is not only light, and in him is no darkness at all, but he is my light by faith. What did David mean by this? Well, let me give it to you first of all negatively, and then let me give it to you positively. Probably, can't say for sure about some of these things sometimes, but probably he didn't mean here that the Lord was the one who had, since he had come into the world and as he had been growing up, had given him all his natural light, if you like, all of his natural knowledge about creation, about nature and things like that, or his natural understanding, or the natural wisdom that he had in order to be king over his people and to deal with other people. God had given him that, as he gives such in certain degrees, differing degrees, to everybody who comes into this world. But David's probably not referring to that here. He's not referring to natural knowledge, natural understanding, natural wisdom, the natural light that God gives, that Christ gives to all who come into this world, as I say, to some degree or another. Not perhaps referring to that here. Secondly, he's probably also not referring here to the fact that God is the one who had given him all his temporal deliverances, even from the darknesses of adversity that he'd gone through so far in his believing life and his spiritual life. And he was going to go through much more until he entered into heaven. He was going to go through much more tribulation before entering into heaven. And even not the one who had granted him all his temporal prosperity. God, of course, had done that. He had given him many deliverances. He had given him a deliverance from Goliath of Gath, the giant, when he was still quite a young man. As a king, he delivered him, didn't he, from Saul, King Saul, who sought to pursue his life to take it. But he delivered him from that enemy. So he became the king, not only of Judah, but over all Israel. He delivered him from the nations round about, from the Edomites and from the Amalekites and from the Philistines and from various giants that we read about too. And also God was the one who gave him temporal prosperity, who favoured him, who made him as king a wealthy man, who made him prosperous in that sense. God had done all of that, but he's probably not referring to that here. He's referring to something more important. And it's important to grasp that, because David here, of course, he's using this argument and saying, God is this to me, and because he's this to me, I'm not going to fear. So we need to not look at what he means here in a kind of a lesser way, but in a greater way. What does he mean here by God is his light? He means this, perhaps, that he was the one who had given to David, right at the very beginning of his spiritual life, he is the one who had given him all his spiritual knowledge, spiritual understanding, spiritual wisdom, spiritual light, through the experience of the new birth that God gave to him by his Spirit, same as us, and by the experience of regeneration, by rebirth, spiritual rebirth, and subsequent conversion. It's that light that he's probably referring to here. God's spiritual light that he gave to him. Spiritual understanding, spiritual knowledge, spiritual wisdom. To see himself as he really was. To see himself as a sinner. And to see his need of salvation. By faith in God's Messiah. In God's Christ, typified by all the earthly sacrifices in those days. He's probably referring to that. But more than that, in addition to that, he also probably means that God is the one who had given to him since his new birth, since becoming a believer, since his conversion, conferred it the same as we, repentance and faith in God and in his Saviour. But since then, God had given him all his spiritual comfort. Light is sometimes referred to like that in the Scriptures. Spiritual comfort, spiritual counsel, given him light like that. Counseled him in life, counseled him as king. Given him guidance, the Lord was his light in that sense, particularly through the Scriptures. Given him happiness, spiritual happiness, joy, love, peace with God. And he taught him and instructed him as a young believer and throughout all his days until he was an older man. It's probably what David is referring to here. Not so much what light in a natural sense and just in a temporal sense, but light in a spiritual and an eternal sense. And I don't know if he means the same in Psalm 84 and verse 11. The psalmist there says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." And then in Psalm 97 and verse 11, the psalmist there says, "Light is sown for the righteous, spiritual light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart." In Isaiah 60 and verses 19 and 20, we have these verses, these words, where God says, "The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord, he will be to you an everlasting light. He'll give you wisdom, he'll give you knowledge, he'll give you understanding, he'll give you everything you need from the time of your new birth, even to your death and glorification. He'll be all the light that you need, all the wisdom, he'll give you all the guidance you need, all the counsel that you need, direction and leading and everything." In Micah 7 and verse 8 we read there, "Rejoice not against me, or mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light to me." Spiritual light. Cheer me, lift me up when I'm in a state of darkness and perhaps spiritual depression and discouragement. So the Lord was David's light. My dear friend, is the Lord your light in that sense? Say yes. Whatever natural understanding I have, it is from him. Whoever I am, or whatever I have, I understand it's all from him. But he is the one who's made me a believer. He is the one who's made me a Christian. He is the one who sent his Holy Spirit and quickened me and awakened me spiritually and opened my eyes. And I saw myself as a sinner. I saw my need of a Savior. I realized I couldn't save myself. I saw that only God could save me through his Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in his name. He did all of that. He is my spiritual light. And he is the one who's been so all the time now that I'm in a Christian, and I shall ever be throughout all eternity. Is God, my dear friend, your light? Is he your Lord? Is he your Saviour? So David describes him like that. Secondly, he describes him also as his salvation. The Lord is my light. He's given me spiritual light in regeneration and since then as well. And of course, my dear friends, what follows on from regeneration? Regeneration always leads to conversion, always leads to the salvation of the soul. So again, David probably here doesn't mean that the Lord is the one who had delivered or saved him from all of his physical enemies. And David had many before becoming king: Saul, Doeg, the Edomite. And he had many enemies as the king of Israel. Outside of Israel, all the nations round about seemed to be against him. Many of them were antagonistic and at enmity with Israel and with David. And he had many enemies in Israel too. Shimei, even his own son, turned against him. God did indeed deliver or save David from these enemies. He was able to say right at the end of his, towards the end of his life, towards the end of his reign, God had delivered him from all of these earthly, physical, temporal enemies. Probably what he's referring to here is this, that God was the one who had delivered and redeemed or saved him from all of his spiritual enemies. We know what they are, my dear friends, that the fivefold spiritual enemies of the soul: Satan. Oh yes, my dear friends, Satan was there as he still is today. The devil, Satan, his sins, death, physical death, hell, spiritual, endless, eternal death, and the grave. David could say, God was the one who was not only his light, but it was also his salvation. He wasn't looking to himself for salvation, for redemption in himself, or what he had done, or who he was. No, my dear friends, he was looking to the God of Israel. He was looking to the Lord. He was looking to Jehovah. He was looking to Jehovah Jesus for his salvation. The good shepherd who was going to lay down his life for David's sins. He calls him in verse 9, the God of his salvation, the Saviour of his soul, of his precious and immortal soul. In 2 Samuel 22 and verses 3 and 47, he says there, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield, and he is the horn of my salvation. He's my high tower and my refuge. He's my Saviour. You see, my dear friends, you can see here David is not boasting in himself, who he was or what he had done, which is always evidence of somebody not being a true believer. David exalts in his God. He glorifies in the God of Israel. He is his Lord. He is his Saviour. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. God is my salvation. God is my salvation. We're not our own saviours or the captains of our own souls. God is the captain of our salvation. He says in 2 Samuel 23 and verse 5, although his house be not so with God, yet the Lord has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, for this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. You know, you can go through so many references in the Old Testament where again and again psalmists and prophets mention that God is the God of salvation. He sometimes delivers us in a temporal sense. But all those deliverances, my dear friends, pale into insignificance and perhaps are just little types. Give us an inkling idea of his being a great spiritual saviour. The saviour of our souls. By Christ coming, dying for our sins upon the cross, and that redemption being applied by the power of the Holy Spirit. Is God mighty? Can you say this morning, what a privilege to be able to say it by faith and through God's grace and to his glory. The Lord is my light. He started everything off. And he is my salvation. He quickened me. And that regeneration led to a sound conversion. I saw my sin. I repented of my sin. And it was all God's doing. And I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I trusted in him. And I'm resting in him. The full weight of my soul upon that finished work of his on Calvary's cross. And when I come to a table like this, I do it by faith. I look at that broken bread, I look at that wine, and I see there the emblems of my Lord's death, where he paid the penalty of all my sins. Is the Lord your salvation, the Saviour of your precious and immortal soul? Well, thirdly then, he says also that God was not only his light and his salvation, he was also the strength of his life. Again, perhaps not referring there to God being the guardian or the protector. The word that he uses here for strong means a stronghold, a fortified or a strong place. And David sometimes had occasion to run into places like that to hide and to be safe and to be secure and to be protected and to have his life preserved. And he's using this word here to say, perhaps not here that the Lord was the guardian or the protector or the preserver of his natural life, although he was. How God spared him during the course of his life. Although he saw many dangers, was on the battlefield many times, and faced great giants, the Lord did preserve his life until he died in an old age, and he died a natural death. The Lord did preserve his life until he was an old man. It's not referring to that here. What he is referring to is this, that God was the one who had not only given him spiritual life and given him eternal life and had placed that principle in his soul, but God kept him in life. God preserved that spiritual life. He protected him in that spiritual life. He sustained him. He upheld him. He upheld and protected his spiritual life. And God does that to all of his people. He doesn't just begin a good work in them. He continues it and he perfects it in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. He not only saves, he keeps. He not only justifies, he sanctifies. And in the last, he glorifies. God was also the strength of his spiritual life. He sustained him spiritually. He upheld him. He not only had physical enemies, he had spiritual enemies. God helped him. Well, sometimes God humbled him. And as it were, he didn't receive the grace sometimes to resist temptation, like that with Bathsheba and the murder of Uriah the Hittite. But really throughout the whole of David's life and throughout the whole of his reign, God helped him, gave him the grace to endure and to persevere to the end. God did that. He preserved and protected his spiritual life. And my dear friends, is the Lord the strength of your life? So very often you feel so physically weak. I don't know how I can do this. I don't know how I can face the rest of today. I don't know how I can face this week. There's so much to do. It's like a mountain in front of me. How am I going to scale? How am I going to climb this mountain? Well, my dear friends, you're not going to. God, who has given you spiritual strength and power and might, who's given you spiritual life, he'll keep you in that life. He'll give you more grace, more and more grace. He'll give it more and more and more. As your days, so shall your strength be. As your days, so shall God's grace be. Ask for it, call upon him for it, and he will grant it to you. Is he the strength of your life? What it is, my dear friends, to have God as your light, who is light. God as your salvation. He is the God of salvation. And to have God, who is almighty and all-powerful, all-strong, who is omnipotent, who is infinite in power, to be your strength. Weak in yourself. Without him you can do nothing. Like Paul said, with him, through Christ, Christ infusing his strength into you, you can do all things. So these were the three things that God was to David. And so he's able to argue like this, my dear friends. If God is this to me, who then do I need to be afraid of? Who do I need to fear? It's a double question for intensity. They are rhetorical questions because the answer is obvious. He doesn't have to give the answer. He doesn't need to be afraid of anybody. He doesn't have to be afraid of anything. Faith, my dear friends, overcomes fear of people, the fear of man that brings a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. He doesn't have to be afraid of the wicked, verse 2. He doesn't have to be afraid of his enemies, verses 2, 6, 11, and 12. He doesn't have to be afraid of his foes. He doesn't have to even be afraid of an host that is encamped against him that he thinks about. He doesn't have to be afraid of them. A whole army encamps against him, David. He says, my heart shall not fear. If false witnesses rise up against me, I'll not be afraid of them. Doeg the Edomite. Those who breathe out cruelty like Saul. You can say like Isaiah, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and I won't be afraid. The Lord God is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. See what he's doing here. If God is this to me, and if God has done this to me, and in me, and for me, if God loves me so much, he cares for me so much, if I'm so wonderfully loved, so wonderfully cared for, well then, and watched over, and preserved and protected, I need not, especially thinking about in the future, well, I might have been afraid in the past, but I really ought not to be in the future. You might have been afraid of certain people, certain things in the past, had your certain phobias, but you ought not to be in the future. My dear friends, this is a word that changes us and transforms us. God is one who changes us. Just because, well, I've always been like this, I've always had this attitude, I've always had this kind of mentality, I've always feared this person, I've always feared that, have to go on like that. God has already transformed you, and he can continue to change and sanctify you, make you more like him, and make you more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't, my dear friends, always go along this line of thing, well, I've always been, therefore I'm always going to be. No, no. God can change you. You might have been frightened of something or someone in the past. Doesn't mean to say you have to be in the future. God is our Saviour. He's our Deliverer. He's our Redeemer. And if he's done the greater thing, he can do these lesser things. So, my dear friend, who are you going to be afraid of or fear this week or in the future? You don't have to be afraid of anybody or anything, not the devil or all of his forces. Montgomery, James Montgomery in his hymn puts it like this, God is my strong salvation. What foe have I to fear in darkness and temptation? My light, my help is near. And Graham Harrison like this, whom shall I fear on earth below with such a God on high? My light to guide, my strength to save. Thou, Lord, art ever nigh. Is a present help to those in trouble. Let wicked men, mine enemies, rise in malicious pride. In this will I be spiritually confident, and I'll trust, safe in my Lord I hide, safe under the shadow of his wings, in that secret place of the Almighty. You will be afraid if you backslide away from him, but you will be safe and secure if you're near to him, walking closely with him. Matthew Henry wrote, hosts cannot hurt us if the Lord of hosts protect us. Hosts, many cannot hurt us if the Lord of hosts protect us. My dear friends, if God is for us, who can be against us? So God was David's spiritual light, salvation, and the strength of his spiritual life. Trust that he's also yours by faith. And by faith, God made David fearless. He made him brave and courageous in his life and through his reign, and may he do the same for us in our Christian lives and in our various Christian ministries. May he make us bold, even like David was bold, and the apostles were bold. What a great need that is today for bold, spiritual boldness and confidence in God, in the things that we do for him and for his glory. Amen.